Thank you. So I'm Sarah Goldenkranz. I'm from the Center for Health Training in Seattle, and I'm the data manager for the Infertility Prevention Project in Region 10, which is Washington, Idaho, Oregon, and Alaska. And so I want to talk about how we can use our data from our regional program to evaluate screening policy and make recommendations for improvements. And how many of you are familiar with the Infertility Prevention Project? Okay. So looks like about half or more than half. So I'm going to go over some detail on the background, but it sounds like a lot of you know about it already. So annual chlamydia screening is recommended for all young women, but previous studies have shown that estimates of screening coverage are pretty low. About 50% of female family planning clients between the ages of 15 to 24 get tested annually at family planning clinics. The Infertility Prevention Project is a national program that funds chlamydia screening and treatment for low-income sexually active women, primarily at family planning and STD clinics, as well as some other women's health clinics. And data is collected from women when they receive a chlamydia test. The screening guidelines vary somewhat nationally, but all 10 regions do follow the CDC recommendation for annual screening for all young women. Although the actual way that that's phrased in their screening policy varies quite a bit, about half of the region's screening policies explicitly state that screening should happen during a woman's annual pelvic exam, and the other regions are a lot more vague and state that young women should be screened, but don't necessarily say when or how frequently. And then IPP also provides selective screening of older women based on risk criteria, but young women are the priority population. So this policy about screening during pelvic exams is based on a historical need for a cervical specimen. However, now that self-collected specimens are available, urine or self-collected vaginal swabs, screening is now possible without a pelvic exam. And so that was really what we had in mind when we wanted to address whether this policy of screening during pelvic exam is an effective way to target young women who are at risk for chlamydia. With respect to how does this policy impact our screening coverage, and what does this mean in terms of case detection? So a few terminology items. Screening coverage refers to the percentage of young women who meet that recommendation of getting an annual test. And case detection looks at our ability to identify clients who do have chlamydia. And related to that is the concept of positivity, which is the percentage of our IPP tests that come back with a positive chlamydia result. So the idea here is that if we can figure out which subpopulations have highest positivity and target them for screening, then we're maximizing our case detection using the resources we have available. And just one other quick note is that in addition to IPP data, we at the Center for Health Training, we also manage the Title 10 data set for our region, which allows us to look also at screening coverage because we get data from all clients that come into those Title 10 family planning programs and can look at which ones got a chlamydia screening test, whereas the IPP data set allows us to look at that positivity measure. So the first part of that objective was to examine screening coverage of women aged 24 and younger at family planning clinics in Region 10. The question being, is a woman's likelihood of being screened for chlamydia related to her exam type that she had? Did she have a routine annual pelvic exam, or did she come in for another reason, and how does that affect whether she got tested? To do this, we used the Title 10 family planning data from Region 10 in 2007, looked at women under 24, and then I linked all of their visit records for the whole year to assess whether she had a routine pelvic exam at any point during the year or whether she had only other visit types, and then computed the percentage of women screened by whether she had a routine exam or whether she didn't. This is just a demographic profile of the sample. We had 152,000 female clients during 2007, an average age of 20. Most clients had just one visit during the year, and they were primarily white. The percentage of clients that did have a routine pelvic exam during 2007 overall was 38%. So that's even lower than the national estimates. And if you look at this stratified by age, we saw that adolescent women were even less likely to have an annual pelvic exam. It was only 31%. When we look at the screening coverage, or the percent of clients that were screened for chlamydia, we saw that overall only 39% of clients did get that annual test. And if we stratify this by their visit type, we see that clients who did have that routine annual pelvic exam were pretty likely to get screened. The coverage was 78%. However, if a client did not have a routine exam, which, as you recall from the last slide, was the majority of clients, the screening coverage was only 15%. So there's really a big gap there. And then the last thing we did on screening coverage was to look at the association between age and likelihood of screening. And we saw that adolescents are less likely to have an annual exam, and because of that, are less likely to be tested for chlamydia. So in summary, 80% of young women were tested if they had an annual pelvic exam, but only 15% of clients who did not have an annual exam were tested, and that's the majority of our clients. And young women were less likely to have an annual pelvic exam because they were less likely to be screened. The second part of our question was, how does this impact case detection? So to do this, we used the IPP data set of test records, and again looked at women 24 and younger, and compared chlamydia positivity at those routine annual pelvic exams compared to positivity at other exams. The demographics of the population were very similar. Average age was 20, and again, primarily white. Overall positivity was nearly 6%, but this varied by visit type. People who had non-routine visits had 7.8% positivity, which is nearly twice that of people who had routine visits. And we also split this by age group. Among adolescents, the positivity was 6.8%, and among older women was only 5.1%. I'm just going to show you a graphical description of this slide. So here you can see that at the non-routine visit types, positivity is higher, regardless of your age. But the youngest age group, the adolescents, 10 to 19-year-olds, at non-routine exams are clearly the highest risk group. And I just want to mention that all of these are all young women under 24. They're all a priority target population for chlamydia screening. But given the reality of limited resources that are available, if there's anyone that we should be targeting, this pretty clearly shows that young adolescents at non-routine exams are a real target. So this is just a summary of what I just said. So in conclusion, putting both of these pieces together, both the screening coverage and the positivity, we see that our screening patterns are reflective of our screening policy, but that's not reflective of our client visit patterns or of our client's risk. The majority of screening is happening at routine exams, but the majority of clients don't have routine exams, and those are the clients that are highest risk for chlamydia. So we'd like to recommend that our policy could be made more effective if it's changed to really target those adolescent women who are at high risk. And I think a lot of this discussion has started among regions already, and a lot of, like, our region is starting to remove that terminology about screening at annual pelvic exams. But I think that it's important that we don't end up with vague policies that don't specify as to when or how frequently we should be testing, and that we need to find policy that is going to be more effective at targeting that young risk group. So, I don't work in a clinic, I'm not a provider, so I'm not the one to decide what that policy should be, but I'm thinking something more explicit, like, you know, testing a client at her first visit of the year, regardless of what that visit type is. Or other things that hopefully you all can come up with. Secondly, any change in policy needs to be paired with interventions targeted at providers to actually change the behavior that is happening in the clinics. And then, obviously, resources need to be shifted to target high-risk groups. It's hard to talk about expansion of chlamydia screening without recognizing that there's a limited amount of resources. And so these are discussions that really need to take place within clinics or within agencies about how best to shift resources without upsetting the system too much. And lastly, we need to develop protocols for how to go about obtaining patient-collected specimens during those non-routine visit types. If we don't need to have a provider in the waiting room doing it, how can we most efficiently introduce those testing into the procedure that's already happening? Thank you.
Do you define adolescents as 10 to 19 years of age? Did you by chance look at the 10 to 14s compared to the 15 to 19-year-olds?
I would have liked to do that, but we have a relatively small number of women that young, and so we do sometimes split it out, but the numbers tend to be pretty variable just because the group is so small.
Because it'd be interesting to be able to weed out the discomfort providers have with talking to 10, 11, 12-year-olds about sexual activity and routine pelvic exam versus what's going on between the 15 and 19-year-olds where it's become a little more routinized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In considering language change, I was thinking about some guidance document that we put out annually and make modifications to. So based on what your presentation said, we want to consider the continuation of annual exams, but maybe an increased focus for the young adolescents during non-routine exams. So my question is, would that be annual or would that be multiple times depending on the risk factor of when they're coming in?
Well,
at least annually on non-routine visits, or I mean, how would you frame the language for that guidance?
Right.
In a clinical.
I think given that there are already resource constraints on being able to test everyone even once a year,
right. That
recommending more than one test per year would be unrealistic. But I think the majority of clients we only see in the clinic once a year. So I think it's important to catch them at that visit when they're in the clinic.
Okay.
And whether it's a routine visit and they're having a pelvic exam or whether it's a different reason for a visit, shouldn't be as emphasized as it has been. Yeah, in the back.
So I just wanted to put a plug in where we were talking about provider awareness, and I just really want to put a plug in for actually going a little bit higher and putting in structural interventions at the clinic level. So that, you know, we talk a lot about difficulty in changing provider behavior, and it's really difficult. They have a lot of their plate, a lot to remember. But if you talk to agency directors, and you get these policies in place at a much higher level so that, for instance, sites have electronic medical records. If you're going to recommend the first time that person comes in, there's just a prompt,
mm-hmm.
you know, for that. Well, for every woman, the first time she comes in, there's this prompt. If it's a paper chart, perhaps whenever you screen a woman who's 25 and under, you put something on her chart to show that she's been screened. So when a young woman comes in and she doesn't have that pink slip on her chart, you know, regardless of whether she's taking an EC or going for a pregnancy test. And just taking that onus off the providers and going much, much higher with the structural intervention that you saw in the presentation.
Thank you. Here in the front.
Do you have any data on the sexual activity of the girls in your sample? Because when we're talking about routine visits, I'm assuming you're going about pap tests or annual exam visits. Well, because the cervical cancer screening guidelines have changed,
right.
They're pushing for later initiation of screening
mm-hmm.
because of the over-treatment and all those sorts of issues. That would be another thing just to consider when you're looking at your data.
Yeah, and we do collect data on client risk behavior. I think that's another reason that this is becoming increasingly more important, is that if routine pelvic exams are no longer so easily defined as an annual pelvic exam, then it's another consideration.
Right, and we really want the girls coming in to be getting pap tests at that age because of the total treatment of psychological issues and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Clinicians that would likely regret on their own.
Yeah. Do we have time for one more, or are we? Okay. In the back.
I just want to, so folks know, with the Title X family planning visit, we also